Hey, welcome to hour 16 of the 24-hour comic podcast. Go.
All right, well, we brought in, we had an experience last weekend. I was with Crank and Mike, and we went to go drink, and we're at the bar that's right behind my house, and we were talking movie stuff, and I pointed out that Scott Knutson here, who works at the fine Loafers Bar on Lawrence Avenue in Chicago.
I've been to Loafers Bar. I enjoy that.
It is a fantastic bar.
Yes.
Scott is actually a filmmaker, a special effects guy, and it just so happened that he also, because we work in the sort of geek world, Scott works on a zombie film, and he's working on a film coming up. So we thought that was kismet, and we should take advantage of it. So
kismet.
Had Scott come down to do a little quick interview to talk about work on indie movies and stuff like that. So, Scott.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Good to have you on the show. Good to have you on the show.
Thank you.
Hour 16 show?
Yeah, hour 16. So I don't know how many people are still up.
One thing that I have to say is I'm really impressed at the fortitude here to go like this. Men and women.
There was a woman here earlier. She's a very hot woman.
Very fantastic woman.
Was that Luke's girlfriend? Or was Chris Burnham's girlfriend?
No, it was Scotty's girlfriend.
Casey.
Yeah. Casey's
super hot.
Yeah.
Casey's awesome.
Dude. Nonetheless, it takes an incredible will.
Yeah, but he didn't participate. Mm-hmm.
Nonetheless, it takes an incredible will to do something like these guys are doing, and I am incredibly impressed.
I think by the morning time, there's going to be some fucked up radio going on.
Yeah.
Okay, so the film that you worked on was called Dead in the Water?
Dead in the Water came out Tuesday, September 25th.
I saw available. That on my Netflix queue. I added it.
It's a fun...
It'll be 5 years before I see it. Because I have five Netflix queues. At 500 titles apiece.
It's a different kind of zombie film.
I hear it's good.
It's not my cup of tea.
I now hear
personally.
It's not good. From a guy who worked on it.
Well, no, I'm not saying it's not good. It's got incredible reviews from places like Troma and like, it was in Entertainment Weekly as a blurb and a bunch of places. I don't know specific names, but names of publications, but it's...
Crappy Film Weekly. And, I Hate You Monthly.
It's generated enough buzz about being a different kind of zombie movie, and for me, just for my own personal taste, I didn't direct it.
You worked special effects.
Yes, I edited and worked special effects on it. The director, Mark Buman, is a brilliant filmmaker, a good friend of mine, so I might be a bit jaded, but yeah.
You may have seen his other film, Citizen Kane.
Yes.
But I mean, so did you get involved with it? I know you're, because I've been to the bar and had drinks and... You know, ended up talking to you because I was.
And he's always a good.
I've been in the bar and had drinks.
No.
Also, I have a question for you.
This guy, folks out there listening, this guy is a good tipper, and he's a good tipper.
Bartenders and strippers. I've heard.
Waitresses.
I'm both.
Both got tits.
So did you guys?
God damn. I'm not going to violate FCC rules, even though this is the internet.
I don't know you.
So you get involved with it via being with your buddies. But I know you've always wanted to work on films. That's what I was going to say. Being in the bar a lot, I know Scott has talked about films. You always want to work on films. I know you've worked on other stuff, indie movie stuff. So you're always going to try this stuff. So did you fall into this one sort of just by being friends, or how did that come about?
Well, yeah. I mean, when it boils right down to it, it was being friends with the director and having the time to do it and having the ability to do it.
Limited budget, sort of?
Yeah. Basically, the special effects, and any of you out there listening, when you see the special effects, you're going to be like, I could have done that. And yeah, you could have. But
we don't know that. We might be really fucking bad.
brave viewer.
Radio thing going.
But the special effects are, you know, paid for with, you know, 8 days of tips from bartending. I mean, this is the kind of budget that that we're talking about. And I don't know the complete budget of the film. I don't want to violate
but
any
agreement. Were you paid for this? You didn't pay for it out of your own pocket?
Yes. I did pay for stuff.
No, that's cool. I mean,
that should be budgeted if you have a movie. Like,
no.
I have the special effects guy who will pay for everything
yes.
out of his own pocket.
Yeah, he made it working with the guy. That
yeah.
did, you know, towards making a film.
Trauma
stuff.
When you're working with friends, and don't ever work with somebody who isn't a friend on this kind of
scale.
I'll never work with Michael Bay. I don't know him. I don't respect him.
Hey, we ball calls to sucker ass.
By the way, Michael Bay makes incredible movies that I don't like, but I completely respect the fortitude, much like these guys have, because it's a marathon. These guys are doing a marathon, and Michael Bay does a marathon.
Yeah. Well, I think, and, I mean, because when we were watching the Wee Ball movie...
There's just more cocaine on Michael Bay.
Yeah. It was funny, because when we were watching the Wee Ball movie, Scott was pointing out the good things about it, because Scott makes movies in his life.
What you were pointing at?
Yeah,
what?
He pointed out the good
stuff. I personally think, and this, and I didn't even know it was Blood Rain 2. I thought it was.
I thought it was Miami Vice. I thought it was any movie but a Blood Rain related movie. But I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it on that level of not knowing what it was.
Well, and I haven't seen a trailer for Blood Rain 2.
Neither have I. Yeah, and no, you know what? They couldn't even. I don't think it made one. It's like, if we show a trailer, people won't want to see our movie.
Frankly, in defense of the film that I did not see, but just saw pieces of, it was shot.
You saw the movie.
No.
Pretty much.
No.
We didn't see the movie either.
I personally believe it was shot beautifully. I believe that the art direction, costumes... were brilliant. I think the makeup was okay.
Sure.
What do you want? What we? When did you come in here?
He's coming at it from the angle
of some guy, blind guy. I'm coming at the guy with glasses who can't see very well. And at that point, it was a brilliant film.
But if you're coming at the level of like when you work with,
no, listen, listen to me,
Tabor.
I watch 6-7 movies a week, a movie a day.
Yeah, I know you do.
This movie was not a movie. It was filmed in black and black. And just was just a complete waste of time. Uwe Boll couldn't direct his way out of, I'm going to use a cliche, traffic. And he also should be burned at the stake. And that should be filmed. And that should be called Blood Rain 3.
In defense, and not to be... confrontational with this gentleman.
No, I will
whose
beat
name...
you in the nuts. It is that time of night, sir. I've had three sparks.
I understand.
Three sparks equals nut beating.
Do you have another sparks? I'm almost out of Newcastle.
There's a 7-Eleven across the street. Yeah, we'll go together. We'll go together.
So what do you?
I'll apologize on the way over.
So I mean, obviously we haven't seen the film. But we're
don't worry about it, brother, man.
We all love.
I would like to see it. I have it on my Netflix queue. I can move it up. I would like to see it.
So what? Like, what in Zombie, you said it wasn't really something that you specifically would have made yourself. But what influences do you come from in making, you know, in looking at editing and films and zombie movies, what do you come
makeup.
From?
Makeup.
Makeup, yeah.
Comic books are probably one of my largest influences, even with films. I mean, comic books are, like, okay. And not to draw like a conclusion, and everybody's going to make fun of me probably for saying this here, but stuff like what Joss Whedon has done with like Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Angel, these stories are like what comic books do. It's like a soap opera, but sci-fi. It's
soap opera.
Yeah. It's a continuing story that is fantastical. It's mystical. It's I personally think it's compelling.
Yeah, totally.
And I think the viewership there for at least a while showed that it was too.
Yeah.
And I know that there's the market out there for stuff like that. But yeah, comic books are a big influence, or have been a big influence on me. I personally not collected any comics.
How about Iron Maiden album covers?
Skinless Eddie fucking rocks. Yeah, sorry to violate FCC regulations.
No live action anything has equaled the art of a skinless
Derek
Eddie.
Riggs, man.
They are indeed an influence, sir. I can't deny it.
So what's some of your favorite flicks? I mean, what made you want to make movies movie-wise? Like, what did you see?
All my filmmaker friends will make fun of me for saying this, but James Cameron, in my opinion, is the world's greatest living director. Aliens?
Well, the thing with James Cameron is that he invents his own technology to get the shots he wants.
Yes. You know, and he relies on old tricks. Cinema... I might be wrong on this. In the etymology of the word cinema, it's close to magic. It means tricks. You use tricks to create a reality, to create a world for the viewer to observe. And like in Aliens, the second Aliens film, the one
Aliens.
That James... Yeah,
yes. We got you. Yeah.
Alien 2.
No need to spill it out.
I'm sure everybody listening right now is making fun of me for that.
Well, it is Aliens, dude. Mom, go to bed. Mom. I'm just yelling at the computer. Like, no.
This guy's an idiot. Thing. But yeah, Aliens, And I could see it after film school, long before I saw the special edition, which verified all the tricks that I saw him.
That's one of the
using.
Very few films where the special edition is actually worth just it? Interesting to watch, along with the original version.
It is.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. So. I mean, it's just because like they get like special editions or director's cut, and they're always like, "What the fuck, man!" It's just like superfluous. Footage put in or
Should
whatever.
Be superfluous again.
I you know, dude, it's my word of the day.
Wow.
And of the week.
I love those counts.
It's a good word.
and it is a good word when dealing with
that situation.
Yeah, with yeah, exactly. These kind of situations.
Yeah.
Apt, even. It's apt.
Apt is a good word also. So
with the post calendar.
So what kind of films are you looking to make? I mean, obviously you've got this thing under your belt. Other opportunities are going to come up, I'm assuming?
Yeah, right now, and not to sit here and plug myself, but I...
Plug it up, brother.
Yeah, I mean, I'm tired of that. I'm actually, like, I don't want to... I'm just, like, turning my head. I'm like, dude, he's just plugging himself. It's a little disgusting, but like, we got to get the 24-hour podcast. We can't... Beggars can't be choosers, man.
Don't let that one go.
Right now, I'm in development. I've casted... and crewed, partially, a film coming up that I want to start shooting this January called Sewer Puss.
Sewer Puss. That's a fantastic title, if I've ever heard one.
What's it called?
Sewer Puss.
Sewer Puss. I've had those.
I've seen part of it.
The film is about a mutant cephalopod, a.k.a. octopus, squid... thing that lives in the antiquated sewer system.
I've had one of those.
It lives in the antiquated sewer system of a rundown apartment building that's occupied by art school students.
And
a young, brilliant, beautiful,
of course,
science student has. Graduated high school early and moved into this building due to early application. None of the academic dorm rooms were open.
Right.
And she's the heroine. The film is a commentary on art school and how art schools are, although good for art, can kind of twist the individual who's going to them.
So it's kind of art school confidential via sort of Lovecraftian monsters? Sort
Art school Cthulhu.
And I'm sorry to stutter over the radio or whatever this is.
This is called nothing.
Okay.
Dead air. I'm sorry to stutter over dead air.
If I may do a mathematical equation of it, it's alligator times ghoulies.
I've got a hard on.
Plus fame.
Oh,
minus the square root of 16 candles. I'm with equals you. Sewer puss.
So wow. So is this something that you wrote, or is it something that someone else wrote and you're working
no,
on?
No, no. I'm a writer mainly, but I studied many, many technical aspects of filmmaking. I'm very technical.
Which is a good thing to have as a background, I think. Cameron, for instance, technical guy.
Cameron studied physics. He's been a hero of mine.
Yeah.
I've never met him. I hope to someday, and thank him for the films that he's made, because, you know, even something like True Lies, which is the remake of a French film that I've never seen, is still, it's
even at its most base, it's very, it's
yeah, fun. Yeah, yeah, it was ahead of its time. I mean, it's Middle Eastern terrorism before 9/11. I mean, not to say that he's a prophet like Arthur C. Clarke or Jimi Hendrix, but Cameron's almost a prophet.
So so this was not written by you, though. It was somebody else's script?
No, Sewer Puss is written by me. I'm developing the story with one of my business partners named Josh Field. And I borrow, you know, I might borrow from this conversation. Like, a word might be said that ends up in the script.
Like Superfluous.
Superfluous will not be in the script. But something might be.
Sure, no, that's great. So, is this something you're sort of getting together funding for now?
Yes, I'm going to be funding this with my own money, along with any money from actors that are working on it have guaranteed some money. My special effects technician is also a producer on the film. He recently worked on the Batman film that just wrapped in Chicago. They're actually still working on it. My roommate is still working on Batman. Batman is not over with, believe it or not.
Keeping people busy.
I just got a fridge for the bar from Batman. I've got the Bat Fridge.
Nice.
At 2600 West Lawrence Avenue.
Batman's Fridge.
2600 West Lawrence Avenue. Lawrence and Rockwell. Loafers. We got the Bat Fridge.
Nice. That's awesome,
nice, man. Is it like from like Batman, like Christian Bale Batman, or
I know they filmed it here, but I don't know if is it
Dark Knight.
I actually have a bunch of friends who worked on it and was lucky enough to be able to get some of the stuff that they were selling after the film was
That's
done.
That's kind of like cheesy, though. It's like it's Warner Brothers; they got billions of dollars, and they're like,
"Well, no, you know what? A film that I work on, The Fridge, that I have to buy for it, I'm going to end up using. I'm glad that Warner Brothers has enough money
to
buy a fridge and then want to get rid of it at the end.
So if I watch the movie and Bruce Wayne takes a Warner Brothers brand beer out of the fridge and takes a swig,
do you know?
Like, oh, dude, I know the dude
so
who owns
that
fridge.
So what do you think about the film scene in Chicago? I mean, how is that compared to the sort of working out in L.A. or New York or something like that?
One thing, and this is completely deliberate with Sewer Puss, the film that I want to do, is I'm going to start shooting in January. One thing that L.A. cannot do and will never be able to do...
provide coke-free actors.
Indeed. But one thing L.A. will never be able to do is to do winter well.
Sure, sure.
I'm going to shoot a film set in
the
winter.
Yeah. Best winter ever shot.
And I think that one thing that Chicago has to offer, and it's something that I'm trying to exploit...
is
as
cold and snow.
Yeah. And four seasons.
And beer and brats.
Yeah, totally, yeah.
Well, I exploit beer and brats on nearly a daily basis. Yeah, it's true. I can't deny it.
I hope not like a primetime live like to catch a predator. We'll catch that phrase. I exploit brats on a daily basis. Forget it. It's tired. I'm tired. Can you grab him another brat?
But okay, so when should we start looking forward to? Are you guys going to promote it on web and do some stuff like that? Or are you going to have anything we check out to see The coming of Superpuss?
Well, hope.
The coming of Superpuss.
What I think
I saw that on RedTube.
I don't know what RedTube is, but it sounds dirty. Yeah.
RedTube is, it is dirty. It's YouTube
Sewer Puss
fun.
Sewer Puss as a title sounds dirty. Will the movie have nudity? Yeah.
Well, of course.
It's necessary for distribution, but it's a serious take on horror.
And comedy. I'm excited for it. Well, thanks for coming in there, Scott. We are looking forward to your film. Thank you for coming and talking about making films. We have a lot of guys like talk about movies but don't know anything about making them.
Hey, the last movie that they were watching, I didn't know it was Blood Rain 2. I saw the first Blood Rain. It was okay. This one looked beautiful.
But it was a terrible movie.
Okay. Hey, no matter what, to those filmmakers out there, it's hard to make a movie. It's easy to write something down. It's easy to draw a picture. No, it's not. It's but it's,
but you know, we know it should be.
But it's even harder to make a movie.
It is. And that's the thing. It is easy to rip on it. We'll continue to do so. But
please do.
It's good to have the other view of saying, like, hey, you couldn't do this, fucker, and you're right.
Well, I would never say you. Everybody out there is a filmmaker. Everybody out there has the potential to be the next Ang Lee.
Who
ruined the Hulk?
Yeah, there you go.
But literally, everybody has a story within them. Write it down, draw it out. If it needs to be a comic, it needs to be a comic. If it needs to be a movie, it needs to be a movie. Just do it. And only if you and seven other people see it, it still have worth doing. Just do it. And you know, don't expect to make money on it, because, you know, films don't necessarily make money.
Right. It's for the doing.
It's for the doing. Thank you, Tim.
Great fucking advice, Scott. Thank you. That's a pleasure. Thank you, Scott. And that was Mr. Scott Knutson. And Scott's film that he worked on, Dead in the Water, is out already. And look forward to Sewer Puss.
Sewer Puss.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you.
Thank you, Tim. Thank you, Tim.
Sure. Thank you, man.
Suntress Ed. Get Suntress over here.
I get this,
yeah.
You know? And I was talking about this, and
the
guy's like,
look at
the iPhone.
Oh, yes, dead air, yay. Hey. I'm running everything right now, yes. Mike Norton's in the house. How you doing? We're in the evening hours. Hey. This is the quiet storm.
Do you have an iPhone?
Scotty Young is actually leaving.
This guy makes me laugh. Kevin Smith is
a strong man.
Scotty's done.
Scotty is done.
No, you did good. You were there
9:30 till now.
You are a strong man, Scotty.
Are we recording right now?
Yes, we're still recording. Yes, we got this thing working, and we're about to call somebody and wake them up.
So,
yeah, we're calling them right now. So we are making more prank phone calls.
All right, everyone, calm down.
So like this huge thing. The video is him just squeezing this giant thing in his face, and it's just like pouring out this pus and blood. For like 6 minutes. And it doesn't even like decrease.
Oh, dialing music.
Most disgusting thing.
Let John sound.
Hello?
I'll
sit
here.
Oh, I'm sorry. John,
I'll talk to you. Colin Hunt.
It's my girlfriend.
Hello? Jerry, you there?
Yeah, where was that, man? Hello, guys.
What are you, where, why are you so low? Are you in a closet?
Like, you can barely hear me.
Yeah, yeah, I can barely hear you. Man. It's literally like we can barely hear you.
Trapped in the clothes.
Boost your gain.
You want to put on my head? Okay. Like 30 people talking. You want me to put on my headset and you can try, like.
I can't hear you at all. That's the weird thing.
Try the headset, Jer.
Let me try the headset, and I'll have to hang up to do it, but. I'll give you a call back in just a second.
No. How about I call you back in a second? Because that's the way this thing... Okay, we'll call you right...
30 seconds.
All right, bye. Shut up.
Man, you are Conrad Hilton.
And that friend is how Mike Norton conducts
this,
an interview.
This is exactly. All right, we're done
with you, Moreno.
How long do you think it takes for him to put his headset on?
Well, Jeremy's kind of...
Give him one Mississippi, two Mississippi.
He's a space case. So.
Yeah, he's slow.
He might be slow.
It could be...
Give him 30 seconds.
Give him a little time.
Yeah. So how are you guys doing?
Good. I'm feeling great.
Are we I'm rolling? Sick of you and your feeling great crap. How are you feeling great?
Wow. He's ignoring it. I took a nice leisurely break.
This is what drives me nuts. We'll be here for, 3 hours on a Friday night, and Tom's losing his fucking mind.
Yeah, he's like,
here
well,
for,
I'm living it.
18 hours, and Tom's like, oh.
I knew it was going to be here.
Captain Casual.
Hey, it's
great.
I'd call now.
I can't make 24
okay,
hours.
Okay, we're going to
call
now. Yeah, I'd call now. He's ready.
No matter what I do. So.
We can make it shorter. We can make it shorter by about 8 hours.
I'm sure he's at his table drawing.
See, him being quiet, he doesn't want to wake up his family.
That could be too. Yeah, well, that's the thing.
That.
Sometimes he's casually quiet.
Looking like, can't speak.
Casually quiet. That's the name of his album.
Jeremy Hahn.
Jeremy Hahn.
It's a very Rodney Coon thing.
Man, it's so loud.
Yes, it is. Maybe we had a bad cell.
Maybe.
It might have just been a bad connection.
Okay.
Jeremy Hahn.
How are you?
Hey.
How are you doing? Why are you up so late?
I'm up so late because I've got a problem, I guess. I don't know.
Well, don't sound so sad.
Yeah, what's the matter? How lighten up, man?
What's wrong? What's wrong? Are you okay, Jeremy?
I'm great.
Do you want to talk
great.
About it?
Yeah, we could make this an intervention, Jer. What's the matter, buddy?
What's wrong? What can we do for you?
I'm currently bouncing back and forth between drawing commissions and looking at nudie pics on the internet, so that can make anybody depressed, I guess.
Do they have something to do with each other, or...?
Yeah, they're connected in some way.
I mean,
well, I mean, I am drawing, Black Adam right now and looking at nudie dude ref. Is that
nudie dude?
That's a lot of quiet.
Nudie what?
I said nudie dude ref.
Naked men.
Wow. Well, you know what? If you want, we can call you back.
We didn't want to interrupt private time, Jer.
You want to hang out and look at the naked guys? I mean, I understand.
We just don't want to do it with you, necessarily.
Where do you get the
commission? How's it going?
He's
putting away the porn. Yeah. All right, never mind.
That was my segue out of the naked men thing.
All right, attaboy.
We're doing good. We're tired, but strong.
We smell.
I haven't killed anybody yet.
Yeah.
But he's threatened a few people.
That's amazing.
It is amazing.
Are you at the drawing board, Han? What are you drawing these days?
Right now I'm doing some commission stuff.
Like?
I'm currently drawing.
All right.
I've been working on, I had a V for Vendetta piece I just did.
Cool.
And I'm... I am working on a Black Adam piece, but nothing too exciting. He's perfectly clothed.
If you're a listener and you are getting a Black Adam commission from Jeremy Hahn, he was looking at porn.
I want to ask for a naked Black Adam now. But
naked.
How do you know it's Black Adam? Does he have a lightning bolt on the inside too?
Well, I mean, isn't Black Adam with no clothes on, isn't that Submariner?
Pretty much. Yeah. Pretty much. The Rock could really play either one,
wow.
I think, effectively.
But no wings on the feet.
No wings on the feet.
Yeah.
20 years for both.
Yeah, well, hey.
We watched Blood Rain 2.
We watched Blood Rain 2.
I didn't.
Oh, God.
Okay, was that not, just as bad as you thought it would be?
It was much worse.
Yeah, actually.
Yeah.
You know,
but it made Tabor happy.
One goes into an Uwe Boll movie thinking, okay, this is what I can expect, and for some reason he decided to
lower the bar.
Yeah. And
it was stunningly bad. I mean, I thought.
Wait a minute, you saw it?
Apparently,
you saw Blood Rain 2?
Deliverance.
Yeah. When did you do this, and why? I mean, we had a reason.
At least let it only be on cable.
I watch bad horror movies all the time.
That's not a bad horror movie. That's just a bad movie. There's nothing scary about it.
True, but no, I've got don't even know if I'm supposed to say it, but none of them are going to listen. Shit. I've got a bunch of buddies that work at a video store, and they give me free movies all the time. Hmm. So basically, anything that comes out in a given week, I watch for free. Like, before it's even, like that Friday before stuff comes out on the Tuesday, they just give me the stuff all weekend, and I just watch it.
That's cool. What good things have you seen lately? Let's get away from the bad stuff.
Good things. Jesus, you're hitting me up with a hard question.
The first powder.
It's not on DVD, but I saw Eastern Promises.
I'm so glad you saw that, Jer. I've been telling everybody off the air how much I love that movie. I saw it last weekend as well.
Yeah, I was really I was kind of worried because, you know, another Cronenberg movie with Aragorn in it, and I was kind of like, I don't know if it's going to be good or not, and it really, really, really surprised me. Cronenberg's really upped his game lately.
It's more mainstream. Again, Tabor and I were talking off the air, and it's cool because you can still see the Cronenberg influence in all the weird movies that he's done all these years. But the last two movies are probably the most, dare I say, mainstream, and they were great. And I think Eastern Promises was even better than History of Violence, which I absolutely loved History of Violence. So I think it's a win-win, and I really think these two guys are a great team. It's kind of like De Niro and Scorsese, or Hitchcock and Jimmy Stewart, or Cary Grant. I mean, it's really cool when a filmmaker finds a great leading man that can deliver the message and really do it in an effective way, and I really think these two guys are like that.
Oh, yeah. It was surprisingly good. I mean, you know, and like I said, I enjoy Cronenberg stuff anyway, but I was just amazed at, you know, how... I mean, not the sport anyway, but like the dynamic of the way that the movie kind of shifts course in the end. I didn't really, you know, foresee anything coming. It completely sucked me in. I wasn't sitting there going, okay, what's the deal? What's going on at all during it? And you know, I'm gonna buy it on DVD. You know,
yeah, me too. No, and it's what should have been familiar territory. How many movies do you need to see about, you know, a crime family, but it's got its usual family kind of dysfunctions and stuff? But I really think the acting was incredible, and I think Viggo gave a very quiet, nuanced performance for being as obviously good-looking guy, big, imposing, kind of strong dude. Can pull off the action, good-looking dude kind of thing very well.
My girlfriend
went
to go see
it
just for some nude Viggo.
So you get Crank, nude Crank of Viggo's. It's not a very appealing scene.
Nude Crank?
Nude Crank? What are you talking
about?
Well,
I'm not saying Chris Crank. I'm saying actually Viggo's Crank.
Oh.
Viggo's member gets full treatment.
Wow. Viggo's Viggo.
Great.
If
I'm
going
to have to hear about that from my girlfriend for a week.
Well, again, I don't think it's an appealing scene, man. Don't
feel bad. It truly is. You know, he's a strikingly handsome man with a not bit of junk. So it's okay. Don't feel intimidated by it.
Sure.
Sweet. I've been looking forward to seeing his genitals.
I'm just telling you, it's the best. It's the best movie. Genitals or not, it's the best movie I've seen in the last couple of months. I was really pleased with how great it was.
You take the genitals out of it, though. Where does that put it?
I think it makes it
still
quite
good.
I got to be honest. I think it makes it a little bit better, but. It was as real, if you remember History of Violence, when he and Maria Bella are fucking on the stairs, and it really wasn't a sensual scene, it was just kind of this animal scene. In the same way, Viggo gets the shit kicked out of him in this Russian steam bath, and
was
he's
there
naked.
A 69 no, wait a minute, there was a scene just like that in Red Heat starring
Arnold
Schwarzenegger
Jim
Belushi.
But there's thankfully no cock in that scene. But again, that's what I'm saying. It went from being typical action movie scene like Red Heat.
That's wonderful.
But that's weird.
You're right.
I've got to go out and watch Red Heat again.
Well, no, there's no reason to watch Red Heat again.
Well, this is a man who liked Blood Rain, too. So,
well, yeah, that's...
Come on, man.
I really wonder about you.
Red Heat's Citizen Kane for next to Blood Rain, too.
If Uwe Boll did a scene with someone's genitals, it would be on the screen for about 15 minutes.
And
in slow motion.
And there'd be another epileptic cameraman that would, like, jerk the camera around, and it would make it impossible to watch.
So, what are you dressing up for, like, for Halloween?
That's a good question, actually.
I have no idea, and I realized that it kind of fell on me to take my son to trick-or-treat, and everybody else is going. They're like, well, we're dressing up too. What are you going to do? And I'm like, be a fat comic, you know, artist guy. So, I don't know.
What? Who's hosting the party this year? You guys all getting together for Halloween like last year?
Say what?
Are you all getting together for Halloween like last year, all the Kansas City kids?
Oh, no, no, it's going to be nothing as cool as, well, maybe they are. I wasn't invited, I don't know.
Okay. Oh, dude, that's so sad. You're like, this is the most depressing thing we've ever done. We're not going to call you anymore.
Yeah, my God, man. You're bringing the whole show down. Mood is wrong.
Hey, Blu-ray 2 always.
No, you were like, this is seriously yesterday. Yesterday, Jeremy's like, are you psyched for the show? And then we call him. He's like,
I'm listening to Joy Division.
You just caught me before I was sitting my wrist.
To Morrissey.
I'm trying to downplay the fact that I did the awkward girl clap whenever I had the phone ring. I'm like,
oh, so he's trying to play it cool.
Finally.
Now you're trying to play it cool. No, it's us, man.
You were going to call Mike when you kept dialing the first six digits, but you couldn't dial the seventh one. You're sitting there just staring at the phone. Should I call him? Is he going to call me? Are you able to do the show?
You're like Scotty Young. You don't watch like television when it's first on. You wait for it to be on DVD, don't you?
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, it's really annoying because I can't talk to you about anything.
Yeah. So I guess, yeah, exactly. You haven't seen Reaper. You haven't seen any of the new stuff yet.
He hasn't seen anything. But Blood Rain 2, he's got time for that.
Hey, I just finished Heroes tonight.
You finished
the first season, yeah.
All right, he's only 3 months behind. That's all right. Well, are you interested in like watching the season this now because you're only like two behind, or are you going to wait till next summer?
That I have like that I could, but I intentionally don't have an antenna.
All right.
Wow,
that's interesting. I know.
Hardcore. You got indoor plumbing, right?
Barely.
Toilet paper.
Because you know, I would have shot myself a long time ago if I didn't have cable. But I have a special case.
See, but I'm on the other side of things. Like, I've got a problem with watching TV and watching movies. If I have cable or satellite or whatever, I feel obligated to be constantly watching it. And I watch enough. You know, I watch so many movies and everything as it is that, like, anytime I'm in a hotel room, I'm a zombie kind of sitting there watching until, like, all hours, you know, because I just can't stop watching TV, even if it's, like, the Food Network or something like that. If you have it on, and I'm like,
You can't draw and have it on at the same time?
It slows me down a lot. Like, movies don't, but, like, TV does for some reason. If I'm watching, a movie, you know, generally it's commentary that I'm watching whenever I'm drawing, so I can kind of shut off my brain a little bit. I just listened to a great commentary about 30 minutes ago, the First Blood commentary.
The First Blood?
Yeah.
Who's on that?
Sylvester Stallone.
Oh, Mr.
Really?
Yeah. And he's surprisingly articulate.
I got to tell you, I'm like 50-50 in terms of seeing John Rambo. I might want to see it. Because it looks ridiculously violent, the new one that's coming out.
That's what I want. See, I've had this conversation with like 20 people, and basically everybody's like, oh, you know, I don't know. I'm like, bullshit, you're going to be there. You know, you're
all about some exploding heads.
He's going to win the war on terror for us, like he did Vietnam.
He's in Burma, which is actually inadvertently timely.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, well.
With all the shit going down, actually, no. This suddenly became a relevant movie with the recent current events. So I find that kind of interesting, and I think all of a sudden they kind of backed into a film that might get more play because of that.
Yeah.
Or they might have to change where it is, depending on how fucked up it is.
All right, we're here in Portugal.
So,
okay. I don't think so. What you got coming up? Tell me. Tell me all the secrets. Announce it to the world.
Break it here on the 24-hour podcast.
Me? Well, I'm still trying to figure out all that DC stuff, but I'm going to be doing some DC stuff. Yay.
Yeah, boy.
Are you really? That's for sure.
Yeah.
Don't lie to the public.
All right, we're very excited to have Jeremy Hunt.
I've announced it first here. I am going over to DC.
You're going over to DC? Oh, yeah, that's right.
Well,
yeah, I got, okay, I'm sorry. I got you. Yes, all right. I got you.
I think that's wonderful. We're very excited. We got pages of countdown waiting for you. And I got a good little sidebar thing where Metamorpho and Looker and Geoforce are going to do an outsiders thing. It's very interesting. Nobody gets Looker anymore. Very misunderstood character. We're bringing her back. She's not Dazzler. She's much different.
Not the same at all.
Not at all.
So, you're not doing anything, basically, is what you're saying.
You're in a holding position.
Well, I had...
I know you
I had
can't say what you're doing. I know that. I'm just messing with you. I just...
Right. No, but...
I'm about to
die.
Well,
you talked about this a little bit anyway. It was kind of that thing where it's like...
I'm taking it
right now. I'm in a position where I can take a fill-in here and there, or I can wait for this bigger thing that...
Yeah, you can't take a fill-in for me, though. What's up with that?
You know, honestly, it's basically, it boils down to you intimidate me. I can't keep that.
Okay, we hand-pick him. Cherry-pick Jeremy Hahn. Okay,
for
you
want
to do an Adam issue? No.
Wow.
He wow. said it like that. He was just no.
Did Gail ask you personally, Jerry, or was it just from
Palmer
or... I forget who edits your book.
It really wasn't like that at all. Seriously, he calls. He goes, "Do you want to do an Adam issue?" I'm like,
"Was it Wacker?"
No.
Yeah. Then he hung up.
Han did or Wacker did?
Yeah, Han did.
Did you really? All right, Han, you Big Ten Wacker.
He hung up and he said,
"No,
you guys,
click.
Don't call back until you give me the project I want."
Wow, man, that's good.
Which is
Captain hey, I heard. Wait a minute, I heard you screwing with my guy, Wacker. What are you doing? Be nice when he calls.
Why would Wacker call if he's at Marvel?
Oh, all right, it wasn't Wacker.
Getting your editors mixed up, John.
Well, who's your editor?
Sig Lane.
That's right, Sig Lane, excuse me. The guy who replaced Wacker on 52.
Yes, exactly.
All right, that's why I thought it was Wacker. All right. I was not completely happy.
What do you want to draw? What do you want to draw? We'll get up on that.
What would you accept?
What would you accept?
Blood Rain 2.
Anything. If DC could get a Blood Rain tie-in, I would do that.
I think it's already taken by somebody else.
Yeah, actually, didn't Christina Z and Cody Chamberlain do some stuff for Digital Levy?
I think so.
It's got to be better than Blood Rain 2.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was because, what would I accept?
He wants the Robbie Wright comeback. He's going to Leave It to Binky? Remember that one?
Most.
That was one of the humor books from the 50s.
The Bat Office I would take.
Oh, Bat Office. Okay, I can see you doing that.
Which one?
Bat Office.
Some Bat book.
Oh, sure.
You're going to have all those. I don't want to draw Batman.
Really?
Yeah. I think Nightwing's pretty cool.
Nightwing is cool. That would be cool.
I'd like to see a Jeremy Hahn Nightwing.
What do you have against shrinking characters?
Yeah, what's up?
Against shrinking characters?
You're a smallest.
I'm such a short guy, as it is.
Yeah.
I'm a fucking dwarf, and...
That's who you should go as for Halloween. You got your costume. Be worth
I could be the fat version of the Adam from your book. You know,
Panda. Sure, you could be Panda.
He could be
your Adam Mark V.
Do you have problems taking scripts from women?
What's that?
Wow, Sal's trying to stir stuff up, man.
You could be
I'm
Adam
asking the hard
from
questions.
Earth.
They got to be asked.
Wow,
I got to get to the bottom of this.
Why do you hate Gail Simone?
Yeah, why do you
start the rumor?
Oh, now you're going to start shitting on me.
No, I'm kidding with you. I'm kidding with you.
God, I'll be on her boards tomorrow.
I don't hate Gail.
I know. We're kidding.
Wait till you hear what Hans said about you, man.
I can't believe it.
No, really. No, we stopped recording.
She's
really,
taller than I am. And,
yeah, that's what it is.
Redheads scare me.
Redheads scare me.
Gingers.
Gingers in general.
Shrinking characters.
Yeah. Why do I hate Gail so much? You know, it's funny. You make one comment, and all of a sudden, it's like, why do you hate Gail?
Why do you hate Gail alone?
I'm telling you, it's going to be on the comic block. It's going to be on the Newsarama forums.
You're ruined in this town.
It's viral, man. Any word that's said on the comic
people
block.
People are going to really be upset that I said
yeah,
that.
10 people.
That
exactly.
I hate
Gail. They post YouTube. Like motherfuckers.
It's up on YouTube already. A video of this that just happened.
That's one of my favorite YouTube, and I always bust him on this whenever I talk to Han. He was at, I want to say, the Heroes Con, and someone did like a 30-second interview with Han on YouTube, and it's like Han at gunpoint. I mean, it's like, got this book, The Leading Man, and it's coming out from
Oni. There's a sniper trained on
seriously. He's doing that right dot. Now. You
I
just
know.
Can't see him.
Exactly. It's like there's frozen. A shotgun in Han's head, and you just can't see it because it's off camera. And it's a great project, me and Clay. And okay, Jeremy, thank you.
The guy comes up, and he was so nice about it and everything, but he's basically like, and I'm like, and you know with this dynamic at cons, whenever you the roar is so loud that you can't really hear anything anyway, and you're like listening to like Clay yammer about something hip that he's thinking he's into over in the corner, and you've got like over here like. That you were pontificating about something, and it's like all of a sudden it's like boom, this sonic boom of noise in my ear that I can't even think, and so I basically get befuddled really easily.
Oh, well. Who cares?
Nice. Wow, how, Mike. It's amazing how you've refined your interview skills over the last 24
the
hours.
The thing is, it sounds awesome here, but he's so used to this, you don't even know.
I got a transition for you. How's the feedback been on Narcoleptic Sunday so far, Jer? That was his OGN that he wrote.
Actually, surprisingly good.
Good.
I haven't seen anything bad about it. So.
It's been weird. Because a buddy of mine was over and we were talking about I asked him what he had thought of the artwork, and he's like, I like it quite a bit. And then he's like, did you know that I like had like a whole thread about it on Jinx World? I was like, no. And I'm like, what was it like? Like Randy from Oni going, hey, check out Narcoleptic Sunday, it's awesome. And then Nobody else posting after that. And he showed it to me, and actually, there was legitimate good response, and I've been truly surprised by it.
That's excellent.
I think it's the boobies. I put a lot of boobies in it.
Yeah, there are a lot of boobies.
It's all right.
Boobies are good. We
like that.
Rumor has it that Narcoleptic Sunday has more breasts in it than any other Oni book combined.
Hey, congratulations! That's nice.
Really?
That's a
yeah. Cool.
Very cool.
Even more than Queen and Country Operation Naked Breasts.
Was that the original title, Norton? Was that your...
I don't know. Mine had nakedness in it. I know they all do.
Extremely deceptive title. There's not enough naked breasts in that.
Rucka likes to throw in the boobs every now and then.
Eastern Block.
I think we need a boob shot. It's been about 15 pages. Put Tara Topless in there. Perfect.
And then her top gets ripped off climbing a fence. Again? Another
44 caliber shell.
Oh, Tara, you bad spot.
A bullet barely grazes her and tears her top off.
Perfect.
How does that work?
Don't worry about it. It's comic book physics.
Well, that's cool, man.
We are getting long now.
All right.
Yeah.
We're running out.
Jeremy.
Mike is weary, Jeremy.
I have to go, Jeremy.
He's getting waved off, so it's time.
I have to hang up on you now, Jeremy.
No, thanks for coming out, man.
I just want Jeremy to know I created a paper doll.
You guys are booting me off your asses. Really?
I gotta go.
And all right.
We gotta strap Norton to the machine to get another hour out of him.
Yeah.
He needs a blood transfusion.
I need whatever. And
are you gonna go work?
No. In fact, I'm FedExing you my Metamorpho pages
to finish them
tomorrow.
Yeah, Moreno
well,
turned him down.
Everybody else keeps turning me down, so now it's down to Jeremy. And
yeah, Bendis is gonna be up next, so potentially.
I
so
know
I think
Jeremy
Bendis is gonna
can
draw.
Actually handle it. So,
all right,
yeah, they're coming your way.
There you go.
So mark Adam down and Metamorpho down as two characters you don't want to work on.
All right. I think you draw
splendidly.
Splendidly.
There you go.
All right.
Put that on the back of a trade paper.
Thank
back
you
at
for being on.
Hey, no problem. It was fun, guys. And,
take care, Jan.
I hope we didn't wake up your family. And
no.
Keep drawing. And
words of encouragement. You guys have fun, and what hour are you on again?
I don't know. 75.
28.
16th hour.
Yeah, we only got 8 hours to go. Don't worry. We're fine. So, this is Shank of the Evening.
Only one work day to go.
I won't see you online tomorrow, but after that, yeah. We can complain about who sucks more.
Oh, yeah, awesome. It's going to be great. We'll be
all right. Looking forward to that. I think I'm winning, but you can still pull ahead.
All right, well, I'll talk to you guys soon, and take it easy.
Goodbye. See you, man. Goodbye. Get off the phone.
Jesus Christ,
Mike,
man.
You are a professional. I want to edit together the end of every...
I'd like the 24-hour comic podcast to be known as the Burning Bridges podcast. You.
That's the end of our 16.
He said with contempt. Thank you.